Well, I'm actually very excited because I received this message early this week on Monday. Well, I try once or twice a week, early in the morning, I'll run around my park, okay, my park. And every time I run, I felt like God will speak to me and reveal things, you know, to me. In fact, you know, I just want to encourage you that I to expect God to turn up. Because last night, I brought Sophia with me. She accompanied me. We went and ministered to another church. Our Every Nation Cyberjaya church. They invited me to speak to the women. And I believe that God is really stirring up spiritual gifts, healing, word of knowledge in this place. And if you are just wanting to sit here and not meet with God, then you will be disappointed and you will feel uncomfortable. While we are in God's house, we expect God to turn up. Last night we went in, and this is really the first time. I've heard about the story about this guy, the prophets. You know, he went to the hospital and he saw their telephone numbers, address, you know, of people on the forehead. Then he could tell them, you know, what it was. I didn't see those numbers, but really, to my surprise, but it is God, right? He can do anything. When I walked into the meeting, I saw numbers on the head of the girls, you know, it's like 2, 3, 9, 7, you know, and I was asking the Lord, and the word that was, you know, in my heart was, their worth. They were rating themselves 2/10, 3/10. That was the rating that I saw, you know, in the spirit. So I immediately just say that out to them, you know, ladies, God, your worth is not based on your past or whatever. You know, when I came in, I saw this. You know, I started with that. Immediately, I tell you, I think more than half the women, they started tearing. You know, I'm just saying that not to promote myself. I'm just amazed. I came back. I told my husband, hey, I saw numbers. You know, I may say, okay, what number? We'll buy numbers. Not that kind of number, you know, but I mean, it's like God really wants to do something. And I really believe, you know, hearing even what is happening in the world, people are coming. I just believe that God is doing something very supernatural. We are living in a time where people can no longer just receive word that is just natural, but we really need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak the truth in such a way that has the power to break the yoke and bring freedom to people. Amen? You know, thank you so much for the worship. I thought it was superbly anointed. How many of you felt that? That was really anointed? You felt the love of God? I mean, I already felt that God was really already pouring His love on you. Really, I mean, just pursuing you with His love, you know? So, wow, I just felt like God is really in this place. And I say all this because I believe that God wants to bring you somewhere. Okay, which is why it's kind of connected to our series at this moment, which is called Here to There. Okay, everybody say it together. Here to There. So are we there yet? Okay, not quite yet. Okay, but we are going somewhere. Okay, we are not staying. We are not just going to stay put and remain just idle or shrinking or stepping back, but we are going somewhere because God has put into our hearts to bring us somewhere, okay? That's how this series has kind of started, okay? Here to there. Okay, so I kind of explained and at the start of this message that here is where we are, but there is where we need to be. Okay, I want you to think for a short while. Where do you need to be? Do you know? Do you know where you need to be? And when I talk about where we need to be, it's not like Daniel, you know, he needed to be in Ipoh to eat all the food, you know, and then came back, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm just saying more like the place that God wanted to bring you to. It's a spiritual position more than just a physical location. It is a spiritual destiny or purpose more than just a physical location, right? Yeah, so that was what we were kind of talking about. So Hebrews 11:8, that was the kind of the story we started with. We were talking about Abraham. Abraham was going somewhere because God told him to go out to that place, which is the place that he will receive his inheritance. So we can't define that there is where you need to be, is the place that you will receive the inheritance that God has for you. Because a lot of us may still be staying here, but wandering around, but we are not quite there to receive what God has for us, okay? Now, so very simple, to get here to there, you have to go out. If you stay, you will never get there. All right, so we have to go out. And then I kind of speak a little bit about how creatives, you know, like to just stay here all the time, keep perfecting their arts or their skills or their creativity. And sometimes we just drown, okay, at here. Never get out to go there where God had intended for us. Okay, so this whole series, we are encouraging, okay, us to find out there where God wants us to go, all right? Now, so in the first series, okay, you can go to our website, listen to the messages. The first one, we were talking about moving from a place of complacency to a place of inheritance. And, you know, what happened there is you receive a relationship, a covenantal relationship, you receive abundance, you receive faith, and then more than being just blessed, you will become a blessing. So that was kind of, you know, what we talk about. Now, when I talk about inheritance, you know, I remembered I also wanted to share with you the scripture that I use when I think about inheritance, okay? It is Ephesians 1, if you want to turn to that. Ephesians 1:19. And I read this, I can't remember what's the version, but it really sounds really good. Okay, if you are slow in turning to it, let me just read to you, okay? It says, and this is our inheritance, this is what I felt that, you know, this is what God called us there. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power. That's what God wants us. But it doesn't stop there, because that's being blessed. If we can experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power, that's so blessed. But it didn't stop there. He says, after experiencing the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to us, our lives will become an advertisement of this immense power as it works through us. See, there is not just a place that, wow, experience God, wow, today's so touched, God pursue me. That's great, okay? And we want you to encounter God's power. But there means, after I experience this, God's love pursuing me, His power of His love at work in me, I want to go there to advertise to others about this immeasurable power or greatness of His love. This is why I think Kanye West is trying to do, because he says that, no, I cannot just stop here and just saying, wow, God is so good, God bless me, I'm a billionaire, wow, I'm famous, I'm so blessed. But he said, I want everyone to experience God. I want everyone to receive His power. I want everyone to experience what I have experienced. And I think if you listen to his songs, which I kind of just quickly listened to, it was actually just full of testimony about how messed up, how much failures, I mean, in his own life. And you don't need me to tell you how he is like, you know. But what I liked is he highlighted the immeasurable mercy, grace, kindness of God. Isn't that what we all like? I mean, who cares about that failure, right? I don't know how many times I've failed. How many times indirectly I've hurt people. The words that I've said, the things that I've done unconsciously. Maybe what we want to know is there a God that His love is so big enough to cover my mistake and still want to pursue me? Isn't it? Right? I mean, that's what I love, you know, about that. Okay. And last week, Pastor Kelvin talked about from defeat to victory. Right? We are here today. So in the place of defeat, sometimes it's because of our pride then we need to repent. If it's about fear, then we need to trust God. And if it's about intimidation, we can now gain confidence in God. Yeah, so that was what we have done for the past 2 weeks. And today, I felt stirred in my spirit to talk about fruitfulness. Now, you may be in a place of, you know, you felt comfortable. But fruitfulness, it is a very... It's a very important thing, okay, in everybody's life. You know, I've been told, although I don't understand, I've been told by a lot of people that are working, if once their company decided to, like, you know, actually want them to resign or do not need their service anymore, what the company will do is to take away all their works so that to make them unproductive. Isn't it true? Right? I heard many, many people in big companies all that they don't want to fire you, ma, right? Because they will be illegal and they don't want to pay you if they let you go, right? So they just, very simple, they just take all your responsibility, all your job from you. I mean, to me, I'm happy, but I know to a lot of people not so happy, okay? You to just kind of make you redundant or unproductive. And 100% of people, they will resign themselves because they cannot stand being unproductive or unfruitful. Think about that. That's actually, I believe, it is something that has been given to us that actually to be barren is unacceptable, intolerable. It's something that nobody wants to feel. Being barren is a terrible thing, you know, to be at. And we may not look at barren in the same place, but I believe whether it's spiritually, financially, you know, physically, it all represents something, okay, to all of us, okay, this about being barren and wanting to be fruitful. I actually had a picture. Sam helped me show that. Oh, thank you. All right, man. Okay. You know, barren, if you look at the English dictionary, it just means that a place of lack. Incapable of producing results, which is, you know, unproductive, you know, not useful, anything. Now, I wanted to talk about barrenness, and I wanted to talk about three women that was barren, and I felt like in this barrenness, I believe that at least we can all identify with one of the situation of the barrenness. And today, if you would repent and be humble to identify with it and invite the Lord, I believe that God will bring us to a place of fruitfulness, okay? Now, the first woman I want to talk about is Abraham's wife, Sarai. Now, if you know the story of Sarai, thank you so much, girl, all right? The first time she was mentioned, she was already labeled as barren. This is how Sarai was introduced. Abraham and Nahor, the brother, took wives. Name of Abraham's wife, Sarai. Name of Nahor's wife, Milcah. And they have some more, a little bit about Milcah. But then this is what it says about Sarai. Now Sarai was barren and she had no child. Can you imagine? Hi guys, this is Josh. Josh is not fruitful. Wow. That is the kind of introduction to the whole world. To the whole world, you know, that's how Sarai has been introduced. But you see, what is even more embarrassing and humiliating, okay, let me tell you, is because her husband, Abraham, actually means father. Wow. Husband, father, means make you mother, right? But we have no children. So you can imagine, yeah, this is true, I was reading about her. So in that time, actually, to not be able to bear children is almost like you are cursed. And it's shameful. In fact, later on, for the Hebrews, for the Israelites, when you cannot give birth, it is very shameful because everyone wants to be the one that's able to bring forth the lineage of the Messiah, right? Because they know that the Messiah is coming. But if you are barren, then no chance. You are like, you know, sidelined because there's no chance that you can bring forth the Messiah. Yeah. So for Sarah, it was a place of shame and humiliation. And when I talk about her, I felt like God is just putting into my heart about people in our midst that in our lives, we may not realize what is hindering us from being fruitful or believing that we can be fruitful is because we keep thinking about our shame. We keep staying in our shame. We reminded ourselves the mistakes we make, and therefore we thought like, we are never going to get there. Well, I mean, one thing I like about Kenya is at least he don't care what he had done in the past. He felt that if he has asked the Lord to forgive him, he will just go forth and bear fruit. He did not stare, right? A lot of people may say, oh yeah, he did this, he did that. To him, I'm not going to allow that shame to stop me from getting there. You see, sometimes the things, you know, that's why the vision I saw just now was like, the things that pursue us night and days are this condemnation, are this past, are this guilt. One event in your life, you made a mistake. They tend to keep you here. And so many people cannot break through to get out, to go there. And they stay in their shame. You know, there was a woman that was also in shame. You remember the woman at the well? She was so in shame, she wouldn't even come out and draw water when everybody else is coming out to draw water. Remember? She would draw when nobody else, and when it's really hot and nobody's coming out, she will come out. She will come out and draw water because she was so ashamed. She has relationships with five men, but none of them is her husband. She knows the whole village, what they say about her. Oh, this one, I tell you, she wouldn't even dare to see them. But when she encountered the Lord at the well, did you remember? She ran into the whole village and told them, he says, you got to come and see this guy. This woman, so shameful, she wouldn't even step out. After she met the Lord, she became the woman that brought salvation to the whole village. Did you know that innovating to draw people to God has nothing to do with your past? And it has nothing even to do with your experience or you know, or the classes you go to or one-to-one, whether you have done it or not, you know, whether have you prayed, have you read the Bible? You know, if we are in faith, this woman, when she met the Lord, what was open to us, first of all, she was like, wow, I've been blessed. I've got to be a blessing. I've got to tell them to come and meet this man that changed my life. See, everyone can draw others to God when they have first themselves met with Him. Yeah. So Sarah, although it was in the place of that, you remember, right? She actually became a mother of many nations, right? She did. Okay, how does that happen? Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about fruitfulness. Okay, so in this verse, you remember, right? God blessed Adam and Eve and He told them, be fruitful and multiply. So this is the first time fruitful is being mentioned, okay? Barren, first time mentioned is Sarah. That's how the Bible, you know, the first time it was mentioned about barren, it was about Sarah. But the first time the Bible was talking about fruitfulness was when God gave that commandment to Adam and Eve. Now, a lot of people misunderstood that this fruitful and multiply just meaning have to have natural children. Okay? So like me and Kel, we didn't have our own children. I am not fruitful. Okay? In that way. But actually, this verse goes beyond guy, girl, married, single, you know, and natural. Because the real meaning behind this, God was not looking for many human. He was looking for His image to be reflected in the whole earth. He was looking for disciples. Because if this is, right, this is for all mankind. Jesus failed. Jesus didn't get married. He also didn't have children like us. Okay, so no shame, okay? All right, but he was very fruitful. He just made 12 disciples to reflect the glory of God. And look at what they did. They went all over the world to reflect who God is. The desire of God bring fruitful, I mean, and to all of you, okay? The most important about being fruitful is to reflect the glory of God. How do you reflect the glory of God? Do whatever that God has given for you to do. See, which is why when kids, if they sing, they reflect the glory of God. If Josh Rondira will sing, it may stop people from wanting to pursue God, okay? But he needs to chairman, right? Because when he chairman, it reflects the glory of God. Josh does not need to be Keith. Keith does not need to be Josh. Yeah, Keith always fumble, you know, when he wants to talk. You know, very scared. I always say, PC, I don't know what to say. PC, don't say, just sing. Okay? All right. Because some men to sing, some men to talk, some men to, you know, share, some men to, you know, all of us are meant to do different things. But whatever we do, the important things of being fruitful is you reflect who God is. Because we have the image of God. And you help others reflect who God is. Okay? So being fruitful. So I want to tell you, being fruitful is a God-given ability. Now, you don't have to tell the animal or even human or the plant how to bear fruits. Any of you take a class, married couples, I know they have premarital, you know, but they don't need to take class how to make babies. They don't need. Because being fruitful is a God-given ability. Which is why sometimes I tell people, they say, oh, PC, I do not know how to make disciples. Huh? How come? Because it should be a very natural ability, right? This woman in the well met Jesus. What did she do? She immediately went and made disciples. It's a natural thing. What will determine the fruitfulness is the condition of the person. Yeah, I couldn't have baby because I have to remove my uterus. I have a cyst. So the condition of my physical body does not permit me to give birth to a child. That's my condition. It is nothing to, you know what I'm saying? So fruitfulness has to do with the condition. And that is why today, I want to ask you, are you still remaining in a condition of shame? Because shame will stop you from being fruitful. Okay, now, fruitful, okay, this ability to produce is making disciples. Making disciples simply means as you follow God, and he's so awesome, you just tell others, hey, follow him. I tell you, what did he do for me? That's what it is. That's making disciples. Very simple. You follow God, you found he's so awesome, you just want to tell others so that they can follow him and meet his awesomeness. Okay, that's make disciples, okay? So it is natural. Now, can you turn to Genesis? Now, you see, this is what happened to Sarah who was barren. The Lord was gracious to Sarah. And he did for Sarah what he had promised. So Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham. Sarah was in the condition of barrenness. But the Lord was kind. In fact, I think there's a version that says that the Lord visited Sarah. The Lord was gracious to Sarah. If you are in a place of shame, I believe today we can pray that God will visit you and show you his kindness and his grace so that you know that on the cross, he has removed all your shame. And he has put on you his righteousness. And he has put on you who he is so that now you can come to a place of fruitfulness. So Sarah, okay, Hebrews 11, in fact, you know, in the beginning, when Sarah was told that she was going to have a son, she laughed. She laughed. She didn't believe. She was not full of faith like Abraham. And she did. she fumbled, you know, after the son didn't come so soon, she go and help God by, you know, giving her maid, you know, to Abraham to try to produce what God was promising. She was so scared that God did not get to do what he wanted to do. So she needed to help God. That's a bit messed up, just like us, you know, sometimes, you know, want to help God. So if you look at Sarah, you know that Sarah is messed up. She laughed, first of all, when God prophesied, you know, she did the wrong thing. But yet in Hebrew 11, it says, it was Sarah's faith that enabled her to bear children because she considered God faithful. You know, in a place of shame means you keep looking at your own mistakes. And I want you to learn from this woman on the well, Sarah, that they were so messed up, actually. But they were able to be fruitful because of God's kindness and graciousness. And you know, you may not have Abraham's faith. You may not even have Sarah's faith. But we have Abraham's God. And we have Sarah's God. It is the same God that look at them, is looking at us, and He wants to make us fruitful. Amen? Okay, so from shame, can you imagine? If Sarah has her own child by her own ability, who gets the glory? Sarah, right? Yay, this is my son. Look at him, Samson. I know. Me, glory to her. But she couldn't. Everybody knows that she couldn't bear. When now she has a son, who gets the glory? God. Same like that woman in the well, right? Nobody is going to praise her, but they are praising her God. See, from a place of shame, which we think our shame, God wants to bring us to His glory. And no matter how shameful you felt you are in, I just want to tell you that God's love, God's grace, God's kindness is so much more powerful. And then He wants to bring you to a place there where you can show forth His glory. Amen? Okay, that's just the first story. Okay, let's go to the second story. Leah. Now, Leah is not a common woman that we talk about a lot because we prefer Rachel. Because Rachel is loved. Now, Leah's story, in fact, in the Bible, you know, if you look at it, they kind of say that her eyes got problem a bit. Some thought maybe blind. In fact, yeah, some scholar or cocky, sengye, I don't know. Eye is so important, right, to a woman, right? So, I mean, many of the guys told me they love the woman because her eyes, okay? Oh, that's what my husband said about me too, right? My eyes, right? Okay. Electrocuted him, okay? All right, so, yeah, but you see, Leah does not have that feature, okay? So she's not being looked upon a lot. Worse still, she was also barren. So the verse that was said about her was that she was unloved. And God opened her womb, yeah, but her sister Rachel remained barren. You see, Leah was kind of given to Jacob, but Jacob actually wanted only Rachel. I cannot imagine, okay, if I'm Leah, really, I cannot imagine. I'm forced to be with another man that I know that has no love for me. But in order for my sister to get married, you know, it's like free lah. I'm just a free gift. Oh man, that kind of feeling. So if you are here, a place of barrenness can also be a place of unloved. And I cannot imagine, especially for women that feel so unloved. You know, they said that women will give sex to get love. And that is so true. I mean, I pastor young people, that is so true. Generally, so many women are so hungry for love that they are willing to just give themselves, you know, just to get love. A place of unlove. Maybe you are seated here. That's where you are. You are not in a place of shame. But you felt like in your family, you are not noticed, you are unloved. In your company, you're also unloved. You know, among your, you know, siblings, you know, you are also unloved. I don't know. In church, in ministry, I don't know, you didn't feel like you're the popular or what. So I was talking to a girl young girl, only 16. She wanted to kill herself. Okay, so I had the chance to just, you know, talk to her. And she told me, I don't deserve to be happy. Then I said, like, because I asked her, why would you want to kill yourself? She said, because I don't deserve to be happy. So I said, why would you want to say that? Because everybody hates me, she said. So I hate myself also, so I kill myself, like I die in a place of unlove. And actually, I believe that, you know, in our society, a lot of people can feel like that, okay? Whether that's true or not, you know, I know that her mom really loves her. She has a family that love her, but just the way she feel, okay, unloved. Now, Leah felt so unloved and that she could only cry out to God because she has a husband that continuously is written in the Bible that Jacob loved Rachel more. Jesus, you know, Jacob loved Rachel more, okay, all the time. So what she did was this, okay, in Genesis 29. Do you want to turn to your Bible, please? Yeah, it's kind of long, so I didn't want to put it out. Genesis 29, verse 32. Okay, are you there? All right. And what it says, okay, do you want, if you're in ESV, can everybody in the ESV? Version, ESP. Okay, you read together for me. All right, are you ready? One, two, go. Okay, so you can see, right? So you see, when you are feeling unloved, you are looking for love. Okay, you will do anything. So that's why Leah will even lie with her husband that does not love her. And it was interesting in the commentary. They said that, you see, that's why guys will sleep with anyone even if they don't love a person. Okay, so that was in the commentary anyway. It was interesting. Okay, but so she got a son and, you know, and she was happy because she thought that if Jacob now have a son with me, I've got to start. I have to tell everybody, see, God, you have heard my misery, right? So Reuben means behold a son. And she thought that her husband would love her. But did the husband love her more? Still no. Okay, the next verse. Okay, I need everybody to read it a bit more. I know it's depressing, okay, in a place of unlove. But I really love you. Okay, will you read it out a bit louder, okay? Verse 33, okay? One, two, go. Okay, so first son, God, me. Okay, God, at least saw my misery. At least give me a son. Husband still didn't love me. God, give me another son. God heard me. Simeon, right? Can you see? Me, God, misery. Hear me, okay? And the third son, all right? You want to read that verse again? One, two, go. Okay, so Levi means attachment. So she was first, God hear me, God found, answer my misery. My husband wants to be attached to me. So she had all this wrong reason for the first three sons because she was looking for love. But it didn't change anything in her life. And I tell you, this is what I love about 35. I will read for you. She conceived again. And when she gave birth to a son, this time she said, this time I will praise the Lord. And she named him Judah. And she stopped having children. And you know, this time she says that, wow, whether it's people, whether it's my husband, it doesn't matter. I'm going to praise God because God loves me. And sometimes in life it's like that. You cannot change other people. You cannot make people love you, okay? So if you are so bitter in this place of unlove, you are never going to get there. But Leah finally realized that, wow, God loves me. I'm going to praise Him. And you know what? You know, it's such a beautiful scripture. Because after that, show the next slide. Because she encountered God and she praised God, she became the lineage of the Messiah. Not Rachel. Not the one that was loved. The one that was unloved, you know what? Found His favor. Wow. Jesus came from Leah. It doesn't matter. She did not miss out God's purpose. Think about it. Through her came the Messiah of the world. You may feel unloved, but God favors you. And when God favors you, nobody can remove your significance. Whew, that's powerful. Leah's significance was not hindered just because she was not loved. Or her mata sepet. God still favors her. See, that's fruitfulness. All right, and last woman I want to talk about is Hannah. Now, Hannah is loved. Hannah has a husband called Elkanah, and Elkanah has two wives, but Hannah is the wife that Elkanah so loved. Okay, and you look at 1 Samuel, but again, you know, there are two women, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Okay, so every time, you know, the word no children, no fruits, lack, no productivity, it's a painful word. Now, for Hannah, it was her barrenness was connected to her grief and her pain. Because Peninnah is her rival, because she's not loved, she continuously will provoke Hannah grievously, irritate her, provoke her so much that actually the scripture says Hannah will be so sad. She's always sad, in pain. She was weeping. She can't even eat. And the husband will come there, but I sayang you, ma. Still cannot. Still didn't change that. A place of pain. So barrenness is not just about being at a place of unloved, but it can also be a place of pain. And some of us allow our pain so wrap us up. We cannot get out to that place of fruitfulness. And the scripture, the next scripture says this, which I really love. And you know the story. It says that Hannah went to the house of God and she literally fasted and she prayed and prayed, you know. And she says this. And she prayed and prayed. And then this is where the priest came to her and said, are you drunk? Because you sounded like so unruly. You know, you sounded like so wild when you're crying out to God as if you are drunk. And she said, no, I'm not. I am just a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Wow, I love this scripture because it talks about this woman in so much pain. She was not pouring out to other people. You know why? Because it does no good. But she learned that when I poured out to the Lord, what happened next is that God heard her, right? Because the priest straightway said to her, okay, you know, the Lord has heard you. The scripture told her, you can now go. God will answer your prayer. That was actually what Eli said, the priest said to her. So she went back, and true enough, she gave birth to Samuel. Now you think about it. She was in a place of pain, and when she brought forth this son, she dedicated to God. Samuel became the voice in the season where Israelites did not hear anything from God. Remember, as a young boy, Samuel, he thought Eli called him, right? So he was the last judge. He was first prophet on the whole list of prophets to come. He anointed Saul and David. He also was a priest that sacrifices for the people. Hannah brought about a very, very key figure for the nations of Israelites, talking about purpose. So today, I don't know where you're at. Maybe it's your shame. Maybe I have everybody close your eyes. What is holding you back from here to there? Maybe it's a condemnation, guilt, shame. And you're missing out His glory. Maybe it's this unlove, this grief that you have. And you're missing out His favor. Or maybe you are in a place of pain. And you're missing out His purpose. I believe every one of us can at least identify with one thing that tries to stop us or hold us back from going out to this place that God has for us, which is a place of fruitfulness. Because I believe that God wants to deliver us. He wants to free us to that place of fruitfulness. It's no fun being unfruitful. In fact, it's terrible to be barren. And God is going to deliver us from this place of barrenness. As we are just, you know, everybody close your eyes. I'm going to call out each of these categories. You don't have to stand out because I know it's very personal. But you just have to indicate. You see, indicate shows humility to admit. It also indicates your willingness to invite God into your situation. Just like each of these women, they met with God. Then they allowed God to change from that barrenness into a place of fruitfulness, right? Yeah, so even as every one of us, just with our eyes closed. Now, I'm going to start with the first group of people. If you are in a place of shame, Lord, I just thank You for these people, for their honesty and their humility to admit that we are barren because of our shame. But today, remove this shame from them. Because that's what You did on the cross for them. Remove this shame from them. And so that it will not become a lid that stops them, oh God, from living out the purposes that You have for them. Thank You, God, for cutting off their past, removing this shame and guilt and condemnation. Holy Spirit, we invite You right now to visit them just as how You have visited Sarah. And do what You promised on the cross, which is, God, You have removed our pain, our shame, oh God. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, second group of people. People who felt unloved. Unwanted. Okay, God, we thank You that, God, that today Your love, Your reckless love was loudly and evidently displayed, oh God. And Your presence, oh God, with Your love, oh God, for us has so powerfully, oh God, revealed to us that You are pursuing us. And that, God, that there's nothing that You won't do to come get us. And fill us with that love. I just pray that, God, that You remove this disdain, this maybe hatred that people have over us, Lord, so that You will favor us with Your love. In our situation, in our family, in the places, in our schools, in the places that we work, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Lastly, place of pain, frustration, struggles. Lord, heal us, oh God. We invite Your healing, oh God, into every of these hands that has been raised. And release us, oh God, from this pain. So that we can get into your purpose. Because nothing will stop us, oh God. You will not let anything, oh God, stop us, oh God, from this. Lord, remove this thing, remove this whole oppression, oh God, that puts us down. Instead, enlighten us, oh God, with your purposes, oh God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, oh God, that, Lord, that you have brought us through your word from a place of barrenness to a place of fruitfulness. I proclaim that our lives is going to be so fruitful, be such a blessing to everyone around in this, not just in our home, not just in our community, but Lord, even in this city, in this nation, you know, even in this world, God, I just pray that you will use us, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen.